the newly warned press that I was installed this morning at the AGM, so it's been a fairly hectic day for the AGM this morning. And thank you. I'll pay you later. Yes, we've had our AGM this morning. We've just had our first session of council, so probably a little bit sweaty. It's been one of those sort of hectic sort of days, you know. Okay, so as I say, it's all about cloud computing. I'm really interested in this. We're just sort of dabbling with cloud computing at our office, so I'm really interested to hear what's going to be said today. I want to introduce our two speakers, Ian Cooper, great name, fantastic name.
Indeed.
Am I your uncle or anything like that?
good looking enough.
You're not a rich relative, are you? And Daniel Blackett, I can't see Daniel, he's done a runner, hasn't he?
It's actually just going to be myself.
Just you now?
Yeah,
is it?
Daniel is here in the back.
Was it something you said?
Okay,
Ian Cooper, first of all. Okay, say fantastic name. Ian began his career in software before the internet was around. Doesn't look old enough. It says here. Initially for a training company, then specifically supplying software to accountants. First he gained a thorough understanding of Sage Line 50, 200, and Sage Payroll. Then developed a specialist interest in CRM systems, particularly ACT. I've no idea what this is all about. Following on from this, Ian started a successful 7-year career at Digita, part of Thomson Reuters. Starting as an account manager, then moving into a senior consultant's role to assist firms in the use of accountancy software. Ian undertakes the sales process with the larger firms in a very consultative manner. Thorough understanding of the requirements need to be gained before any recommendations are made. And Daniel Blackett. Dan has a vast experience in supplying services and consultancy to UK practices of all sizes. Most recently, he's been a key member of the UK and EMEA Thomson Reuters Salesforce, selling Digita and other accountancy software and services to practices across the south of England. After 5 years, it became clear that small and medium-sized practices wanted more than desktop compliance software. You try saying that. They wanted to access this, I'll get there in the end, from anywhere in real time. Hosted Accountants was formed to help practices reap the benefits of going cloud-based and to provide a desktop or as a service, DaaS, that's another one I've new one I've learned, to operate these traditional accountancy software packages remotely and securely on a virtual desktop. A virtual hosted desktop. Dan now provides approachable and independent advice to all size practices looking at hosting options and virtual. There's great words in here, aren't there? Virtualization strategies. It says Henry sits down and hands over to Ian now. So I guess.
Thank you, Henry. I do have one apology from another one of our directors, a chap called David Watson, and he's been an IT partner at three different. Practices in the southwest, Robson Roads, and most recently Milstead Langdon. So just a little bit more about who Hosted Accountants are. As mentioned, I've been working with accountants for about 10 years now, primarily supplying software. But more and more recently, this term, the cloud and hosting and virtualization, has been coming up, and it's really confusing for a lot of people. So what I'm going to do, first of all, is just go through some slides and explain why and try and demystify what the cloud is. As it says, exactly that, trying to demystify the cloud. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Okay, so these are some of the terms that you hear. It's the biggest paradigm shift in 20 years. It's a game changer. Pay-as-you-go, just on. All about cost-cutting, etc. So what do all those things actually mean? Well, if you ask 20 people to explain what cloud computing is, you'd get probably 20 different answers. There's loads of information on the web, and it's always a good place to go and do some research. But if ever you've got questions about the internet or cloud, and specifically cloud-based programs for accountants, then come and speak to us. This is more important. The cloud, yeah, I've got an accounting package on my desktop. Fine, it works. So who cares? What's in it for me? That's the question you need to be asking. It might be that you do your research and you find out that cloud computing isn't right for you at this moment. But hopefully, when we go through this, you'll see what some of the advantages of moving to the cloud are. Okay, so I'm going to put this in plain English. And I'm going to use an analogy for this. I'm a bit of a simple person. And using analogies is the best way for me to describe these. So let's picture this. You're moving being relocated. You're currently based in one city. You want to move to another town. Now, there's a number of different things that you need to think about. You could either buy a house, rent a house, or build a house. So these are some of the some decisions that you need to make. The rental part of software as a service, and software as a service covers online bookkeeping programs such as Xero. Can I have a quick show of hands? Is anybody using online accounting systems yet? Right, okay, that's good. And I know there's one user of Office 365. Are there any others? Right, great, good. So a few less. But the fact is that some of you are used to this rental model rather than the outright purchase price. Now, when you're building a house or buying a house, you need to make a load of decisions before this, before you actually go and make that large investment. And some of those decisions are going to be hard to calculate. Let's say you're thinking about buying a house and you're contemplating having a family. So do you buy a two-bedroom house in a nicer area or a three-bedroom house in not-so-nicer area with the same cost? A lot of these questions are unanswerable at that time. A family going to come and live with you after you've built this house, and you're going to have to put an extension on. It's decisions that you need to look in 3 or 4 years' time, whereas with the cloud products, you can actually have a lot of that information supplied to you, or you can actually pull additional parts down as and when it's needed. Okay, so as I mentioned, if you're building your own house, you can customise it exactly as you want. So if you've got your own internal system and you've got your own software, you can choose how the workflow goes, you can choose which programs you use. For those that are in practice, just another quick show of hands, practice. Okay, vast majority. So for those of you that are in practice, you might have chosen what's called a best of breed route, where you've got an accounts production program from one supplier, or you've got a tax program from another supplier. So you actually can choose which elements that you use at which time. That's very much the same as choosing what flooring you're going to put, what roof tiles you're going to put on your roof, how the lights are going to look, that type of thing. So it's you really do get a chance to choose when you have your own internal systems. But once the house is built, there are overheads which you don't have associated with rental properties. You've got to do all of the gutter cleaning, or you've got to get in the electrician there, do the heating and the cooling, which if you're in a rental property, you wouldn't have to take care of all of those. So there are ancillary costs associated with owning a house beyond those that you might experience with a rental property. So, renting, i.e. going down the software as a service route. Sorry to use jargon, so if you see SaaS ever written, that is software as a service. Now, the point of that is, or the sort of terminology for that, as and when you need it, you pull it down. So it's a service to you at that point that you need it. There's another bit of terminology which I'll just mention, and that is DaaS, which is desktop as a service. Those are going to be the two most relevant for yourselves, but there are another two analogies, and I'm sorry to say these, but PaaS, PaaS, is platform as a service, and you don't need to write these down because it's a bit techy and geeky, but but it's just some of those terms that you'll come across. And what I'm trying to do here with demystifying the cloud is say those names aren't important. What's important is you know what you want to get out of the software. Sorry.
What was the other term you're going to say?
IaaS, infrastructure as a service. Okay. So, why is it better to go down the rental route? Why is it potentially better? Now, when you're buying a server, you're buying the server for your office. So you're buying one unit, you're putting it in your office, you're paying loads of costs to have that server built. However, when you're looking to put a server in a hosted server, or you're having your software hosted, then the company that buys that gets the economies of scale. So a builder will get everything in bulk, thereby 1,000 door handles at a time, or 1,000 light bulbs at a time. Now, you'll be buying several of those at a time, so you'd never get the economies of scale. So what cloud computing is doing is actually levelling the playing field. You're buying a little bit of space in on a very big and powerful system, which traditionally would have been the playground for the big accountancy firms, the top 50, the top 20, those that have huge budgets to buy the very best kit they can. Now, cloud computing is actually, as I just said, levelling that playing field, so you get those competitive advantages which historically might not have been available. The other part of it is, if the apartment's built and it's all structured in the same way, you can choose to have one part, maybe a one-bedroom apartment to begin with. However, if you then look to expand, you can just bolt a little bit extra on or bolt another little bit extra on. So you choose which parts you need for your practice or your business at that time. So, because a lot of the decisions are made for you when somebody's building this apartment or when you're buying cloud-based software, then you will notice that there's less decisions for you to make because you have to take what you're being offered to you. Which, in some ways, is a good thing because you've got people that are professionals that are being paid huge amounts of money to put all of this stuff together. In other ways, it does mean that you don't sort of be able to tailor it to your practice or business quite as simply. Also, you can't just downsize. If you're in a house and you've built an extension because your mother-in-law came to live with you, I can say that. Emma's not here, but if you've got a place and you've built an extension, mother-in-law moves out again, you've then got an extension that you don't know what to do with. But with cloud computing, you just stop paying for that extension and away you go. And as I explained earlier, you don't have any options to customise this, or very, very few options to customise this. What you get is what you buy is what you get. So with a lot of accounts production programmes at the moment, you'll be able to tailor it. You can put underlines, you can put capitalised headers. You might want to left align the page number. Those things aren't generally quite as easy with cloud-based programmes. And I'll go on to explain why. So that's some of the negatives, but some of the positives. With the again going back to the building analogy, let's say they're building it with solar panels, or they've put high-speed internet into all of these apartments. Those decisions are coming from this building company because they're selling a top-notch apartment, which generally might not be. You might have to make some sacrifices when you're setting a budget on building an extension or buying a house. So it's a high-quality infrastructure. And as mentioned, if you've got an apartment or a flat where you've got managed lawns and gardens, then somebody else takes care of all of that for you. But you pay as you go. You don't need to spend a huge amount of money on a house when you're renting. You literally just pay. You just pay for what you need at that point. And that's the same as cloud computing for the vast majority of programs that are available. Okay, I've been doing some translation as I go through, but this is just going to highlight a little bit more about the differences or between hosting and cloud and traditional infrastructure. Okay, so I should imagine everybody here uses some cloud-based system. So email, Hotmail, things like that. Yeah, Dropbox. How many Dropbox users? Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? But yeah, really simple to use. You start using it and you think, well, it's so obvious because it's so simple to use. And those sort of things generally are free. Now, Dropbox gives you 2 gigabytes of storage space where you can work collaboratively with your clients. Easy for me to say. So you can put a folder, let's say a set of accounts, into a Dropbox folder. And your client, if they've got the same system set up, will get a little notification pop up to say the information's there and available. They can then go in, sign off the documents, and then it will give you'll get flash, a little notice flash up to say these have been done. And that product's free of charge. It's 2 gig. And then if you start recommending people, I think you get up to 4 gig free of charge. And then if you need 10 gig, it's a tenner a month or somewhere around that. Again, not huge figures, but a really, really sort of powerful business tool. Twitter, are any of you marketing your practice on Twitter? Yeah, amazing. This, I think about in the last year, the increase in the number of accountancy firms on Twitter promoting their services and just, you know, basically giving away information is just phenomenal. This is a bit of an interesting one, Facebook. But in the news today, obviously, floated for $100+ billion, which is just phenomenal for somebody that's, it's a free service in effect for users. So any of you got your accountancy firm business pages on Facebook? Yeah? Do you get many new leads, or is it for keeping your clients warm?
Clients form and information purposes, really.
Yeah, brilliant. I think it's a great way of doing it because people do check Facebook now.
Yeah,
you might have problems with your staff going on there a little bit too often. Or the boss. but it's a good way of keeping your clients up to date because it's more interactive than your website. Your website either costs money because you're paying somebody else to do it, or it's time-consuming to put it there. And even if you update it, there's no notification going to your clients to say there's some new tax rates to see. You can put on your Facebook page, which they check, and it gets a notification sent to their email, that your new tax cards are available. So there's some really interesting things you can do in that area. And as I said, most of them are free. How can they give this away? This doesn't make sense. Everything's been paid for. Software companies charge generally a setup fee. A traditional software company will charge generally a setup fee, and then they're charging annual costs as well. What they get for it, though, is loads of information about you, about your friends, and this gives them the chance to cross-sell other things to you. So that's why it's free a lot of the time, and that's why the Google flotations happened at $100 billion, because they know more about people than probably nearly any other company in the world, with the exception of Google. And information is valuable, so that's one of the reasons that this is provided free of charge. So, as I said, it's really reliable. How many times have you gone onto the internet and Facebook's not been there? How many times? Oh, it has. Okay, Ellen, sorry. That is rare because.
Yeah, I know. It used to crash quite a bit, didn't it?
They spent a bit of money getting that right. But I personally don't think I've been without the internet at home, and I pay £6 a month for my internet connection. I haven't been without it at home for a maximum, but since I moved into my new house 2 years ago, so the reliability of this is really increasing. Okay, now, information's power, knowledge is power. Traditionally, you've had all of your clients' data in your office. It's in a box, and the box that makes a noise, it's a reassuring noise, because you know when it's making that noise that your client's information's there and you can access it. So some of the shifts that we're talking about here, instead of having a box in the corner that has Sage running on it with all your clients' accounts and all your clients' details, you're taking a leap of faith, really, by putting that up into the cloud. And potentially that's what traditionally a business owner might have said. However, things are changing quite quickly. And this is why the cloud is so rapidly, and programs on the cloud are so rapidly being accepted, because the traditional approach of IT is moving away from people being worried about not having internet connection, that data gets stolen, because there's just billions invested to make sure that that doesn't happen. And those billions being invested on, let's say, Xero, where your client's data is, that amount of money that Xero's invested to protect your client's data is far more than you would be able to do to protect your office with the box in the corner, either from fire, theft, somebody walking in and stealing it. The power supply setting alight, which happened to one of our clients recently. So there is risk wherever you put your data, and what I'm going to try and do is reassure you that putting it in the cloud is probably a safer place than putting it in your office. I've mentioned a lot of these things: high availability, you can run a number of programs on your phone, and you can connect to a desktop, a Windows desktop on your mobile phone. The reliability that these providers offer is somewhere in the region of sort of 99.9 or 99.7% uptime. Now that equates to about 5 minutes a year. I don't know how many of you have had any server problems in the last year, but if you've got a good IT company that comes in and looks after it, then the chances are that good IT company is being used by a number of other people, so they might be a bit hard to get in. So you might then go down the cheaper route and get not such a good IT support person who is available, but then the chances of them needing to come in more often are increased. As I was saying, people invest huge amounts of money in data centres. There's a number of data centres throughout the country that are either built in old bunkers, and they are manned 24/7. They've got two levels of power supply from two different power grids coming in. Everything in there is redundant. You've got two air conditioning units, etc. So they've got generators in there to keep the servers going. And all of these things are generally not available to the smaller practice. And this is why I'm saying it is making everybody have a more equal opportunity. The data centre we use, it's a really dull place. You go in there and it's just loads of servers stacked up. It's not very fun. But it's impressive because they've got this system where if there's any chance of a fire and the smoke detection kicks in, they've got the way that the gas comes in and sucks all the oxygen out, so it just puts out instantly. Where the floors that the servers are on, underneath them is a room the same height to stop any flooding risk. It's just phenomenal what you're getting. Also, with the cloud computing, instead of one IT person, maybe, I don't know, this is a term that I hear fairly frequently, or I say to people, but the accidental IT manager, somebody that's an accountant that wants to come in and do their accountancy work and ends up having to go and install software or go and find out why one of the mouse isn't working. And this is prevalent in firms where not quite large enough to have a full-time IT person. So when you're outsourcing or giving your software support to a company that's available anywhere in the world, then you're getting people that are working full-time for you. They've seen every scenario that you would have expected. They're at the end of the phone, and because it can all be dealt with over the phone, you don't need somebody getting in their car, driving to your office, and fixing things that way. A lot of you that have been using any cloud programs will suddenly go log back in another day and suddenly you'll see a load of new features. These are added to online bookkeeping programs without even you knowing about it, and there's no downtime. There's nobody, no software company sending you a CD saying, yeah, it's all ready to install. Just go ahead and install it, it's fine. And then you install it and then all your WIP's gone. Or you install it and your business tax computations aren't working maybe. And then 2 weeks later you get another CD saying you've got to install this CD. You put the CD in and then things don't work out quite as you expect. And again, you're left without time because of this update happening. Sorry.
Can't read your backups.
Yeah. No, really?
That's the message you get. Can't read your backups.
That's right. Yeah.
This program is updated. Put the thing in and it says can't read your backups.
This program is updated. Can't read your backups. Yeah. And then you're on the helpline for an hour, and you've got five staff at £50 an hour.
Why would an update cause a difference in the way it applies to your software if it's applied locally?
If you get an update that's got a false inaccurate software on it, you need a patch to come afterwards. You're still going to need the patch, whether it's applied in the cloud or applied locally in your own office.
Very good question. That's where you get the economies of a cloud-based system. We provide hosting, for example. Now, if one of the major compliance software vendors send us out an update, then we will run that on our test server. So we put that on, and we will test it there and then. We also give a two-week window of quarantine, basically. But if it works on our test server, then it's more than likely to work on the on all of our virtual servers where everybody's desktops are. I'll get to that a bit later, so sorry if I'm confusing you with some terminology there. The reason that there's less chance of problems if you've done it on the test server is everyone runs a standardized environment. Everyone runs the same version of Windows Server. Everybody's got the same antivirus software. Everybody runs the same version of Office. So it just minimizes any chance of, because I'm a load of programs, antivirus software, whilst being absolutely essential, is a power-hungry and invasive system where sometimes you might not be able to take a backup without turning your antivirus off. So, yeah, good question. And that's why things are done in a test environment and it's then rolled out to the rest of the clients.
The software house the software, even though they've issued it to you?
That's right. We'll put it on our test box, yeah, and make sure we can upgrade it. And if we can, then that's pretty much... I'm sure that we'll be able to upgrade the rest of them without a problem. Now, with the other cloud providers, they have off systems exactly the same. So Cashflow, which is an English company, one of the market leaders, and a really good product, they will test all of their features and then roll it out. Now, this might get a little bit confusing because I don't really want to use this terminology, but there's something called multi-tenancy and something called single-tenancy. When you go with... I can see some eyes glazing over. Yeah, I'm nodding off. One is when you've got, let's say, Cashflow database, all of your practices are on exactly the same database. So they have got one big database to maintain, and then you get your little sections of that database. And that's called single-tenant. Now, multi-tenant is where, more of what we do, the hosting of the virtual desktops, where we take our big server and cut it into chunks and create your virtual server. And that's called a multi-tenant environment. The economies of scale aren't quite as great because you've got 10 different systems to maintain. But they're still there. Right, I mentioned about data centers. Now, a data center is something that is where your servers are stored. Generally, these data centers will be in two different geographical locations. Best practice says that. So you'll have one in Birmingham and one in London and one in Manchester, potentially. So if one of those data centers goes down, even though they're connected to two power grids, even though they've got two air conditioning units, you carry on working as normal, because it then just goes through to the other data center and they replicate each other real time. They've also got absolutely huge bandwidth, so they connect to what's called the backbone, which is the main UK sort of internet structure, so there's no worries about speed of the programs. Right. Okay, loads of things here. I'll just talk about a couple of them. Working remotely, we've noticed a trend where people have been going out of practice with the amount of redundancies that's been sadly made over the last few years. So practitioners have started their own practices. They might be doing contracting work for an existing accountancy firm whilst building their own client base. Now, working remotely gives you that flexibility where you don't have to buy a desk if you want to employ somebody or put a part-time member of staff in your office. You don't need to get a desk, you don't need to buy a computer, you don't need to buy Microsoft Office, because they can work from wherever they are in the country by using systems like LogMeIn or one of the software as a service online accounting programs. Other things, though, transparency, that's a good one, because you can go and find just so much information about things on the web now that companies that maybe didn't treat their clients as well as they should get found out very quickly. The CEOs, the owners of Xero, Cashflow, Free Agent, and most of the online bookkeeping providers are all available on Twitter. They all have Facebook pages. They're very public. They're very public, whereas before, owners of IT companies you wouldn't be able to get hold of them. I mean, that's one of the big changes, and I think it's quite nice because it gives everybody the opportunity to hold people accountable. As I said, there was a big change in circumstances recently with the crash and the problems that are still ongoing with a number of our European brothers and sisters, which don't seem to be doesn't seem to be clearing itself up too quickly. Now, if you had a cloud system and you were paying on a cost per user, or you paid for the number of clients you needed, you wouldn't be left with an existing infrastructure that supported far more than you needed. Likewise, it's given a load of people the opportunity to go and start their own business, like I said, and they can actually build little bits at a time rather than making a big old capital investment that would be associated with buying servers, desktops, laptops, etc. They just buy a little bit of it. So this is where the bridge gets gapped. But it does require a new way of thinking because you're reliant on somebody else looking after your systems and your clients' information. But it could massively simplify our lives because, as I said, you've got people working full-time, making sure that your systems are running at sort of top-end solution, that they're running smoothly, that they're designed to work in the way you'd expect them to work. Has somebody just worked out the answer to that?
No.
Always 42. Okay.
I'd be minus to see if it was 42, though, wouldn't you? You need to check that, I think.
as I said, your data is backed up in multiple locations. So if a server goes down in one place, you can go to the next place and then the next place. And these are the sort of things that should give you confidence that even though you're moving your data out of your office, off that box that makes a noise, you're actually putting it into a far safer environment because it's available there, 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 and there. so, yeah, that's one of the important parts of it, replication. We've got this quite good system on our with our servers where if you log into your system and you've got more than a few staff, the system will automatically go, right, one person's entering some timesheets, they don't need very much power, but one person's running a set of really complex charity accounts, so they need more power. So the server allocates or load balances the amount of power that's being used between the different users that are logged into the system. As I said, you should always expect your cloud system to be up. Again, on the software as a service providers and the online accounting people who put their hands up earlier, how many of you have tried to use the system and it's not been available in the last 6 months or so? Okay, nobody. How many of you have had any downtime with your servers in your office and not been able to do any bookkeeping on Sage, for example? Okay. Four. As a percentage, that's good. It sounds like you've got a lot of good systems in place already.
Do you have any uptime figures for hosted accountants?
Our uptime figures in the last 6 months have been 100%. So.
What does your SLA say? 99.97.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, we couldn't say 100% because we'd be but it's nice to set yourself a target. Okay, so what's the catch of cloud computing? It is relatively new, and there are still things to be found out about it. I think growing pains. Now, do you remember when online banking came out? Yeah? How many of you waited? Okay, yeah. A lot of people. And how many of you remember the stories of people logging into their online bank and actually going into somebody's account? Yeah? And how many of you thought, I'm not going to do that? I did. Sorry, and how many of you now use online banking? Yeah, exactly. So there are growing pains associated with that. But the companies are learning really quickly. And those that don't learn, they won't be around for very long. There's 50 online accounting packages now. And when computerized bookkeeping first came out, there was probably somewhere in the same region, let's say. Now that number is massively reduced. Love them or hate them, and Sage have got such a huge market because what they were doing late 80s, early 90s was very good, and they really did provide a solution that everybody wanted. They're changing with the times. They've got their own online bookkeeping program now, but a lot of the computerized bookkeeping systems that are available fell by the wayside. The other problem is not many programs have been written for the cloud yet. I don't know how many of you would like to have your final account software integrated with your online bookkeeping program, but if that was always in the cloud and it was a single ledger, so you do all your bookkeeping and then you just go into your final accounts and you do that, and that's recording the time on your time and fees. This sort of stuff you've expected it for 5-10 years, the likes of Iris, probably showing my age a bit here, the company called CSM. Anybody remember CSM? Yeah, two people, right? So they were around, and they had an integrated tax account practice management program before Windows came along. They tried to move it to Windows, and that's when the company wasn't successful with that move. But with the cloud-based systems, there isn't going to be such a dramatic change, so you wouldn't expect that to happen again. But as I said, there isn't a package as comprehensive as Iris or Digita or CCH, any of the main providers, available on the cloud at the moment. Excuse me. Okay. So, this is where hosting steps in, because a lot of you don't want to give up Iris. You've spent 10 years learning it, you've spent years and years learning it. You've got loads of data there, and you want to carry on working with it. So, yeah, there might be a program that's available on the internet that comes close to it, but generally speaking, if you're using even a best-of-breed solution, such as Caseware and PTP, then that level of integration between final accounts and a tax program isn't potentially available. So, do I have to start over? No, you don't. You carry on using all of the systems that you use at the moment. And that's the beauty of hosting your virtual server, or having your server put onto a virtual server and having it available anywhere. You get the economies of scale, as I mentioned earlier. Our support team deal with hundreds or tens of Iris's clients, so we know their products inside out. We're on first name terms with their support team, and we can get things fixed quickly. With the virtual server, you can access it from anywhere. Another quick show of hands, any iPad users? Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, with the iPad, nice. I should have said a show of iPads. Any want to be iPad users but can't quite see the business benefits to justify it? Okay, yeah, couple there. Now this is where this comes into play, because you can actually with an iPad, and there's an AAT member that posted on Accounting Web in the middle. Yeah, last one. Posted on Accounting Web middle of January, when everybody should be doing all their tax returns and shouldn't be going on the internet to read any answers. But he wrote about being on the golf course and used his iPad, not with an internet connection, with a 3G connection that you get on your mobile phone, to submit a tax return. It's brilliant. So there you go. There's a business benefit. That'll justify an iPad on its own. 1,000 people read that from the middle to the end of January, which just proves how interested people are about how you can use this technology. If you could go to your clients with an iPad, you've not got your laptop, you go with your iPad, you bring up the final accounts, they go, oh, actually, I forgot about this really big order, or I forgot about this this invoice I haven't added. You can then just go in, make the adjustments, and print the final accounts off there, and then get them signed. So you're reducing the amount of time spent in WIP, which is what it's all about, getting paid. Oh, you can open up the... Oh, sorry, Bob. Okay. Okay, so I've got a mobile phone. I wouldn't ever use this, but I've got a mobile phone that I can access my... We use a hosted desktop, as you'd expect. And I can access my hosted desktop on my mobile phone. And I was in the pub last night with a friend that I've not seen for ages. I said, look at this. This is really cool. He went, oh, that's not that cool, is it? But it's all relative, isn't it? But but the point is, I could be anywhere in the world, and I can access any files that I want. I can access all of my client information. I can post time on my time and fee system. I don't know if. Anybody seen anything like this before, or heard the terminology thin client, thin client solution? Okay, yeah, a few nods of the head, excellent. These things are brilliant. If you've got staff that come into your office and they never go out with their desktop or they never go out with their laptop, they literally just come into the office to do their work, then you can bolt one of these to the back of a monitor so just bolt it to the back of the monitor. It's got USB for keyboard and mouse. You can run dual monitors off it, and it connects to the internet. These things are about £170 to buy, compared with, let's say, a desktop at £500. They've got a life expectancy of something like 350,000 hours, and because there's no moving parts and there's no software to update, you can get 350,000 hours out of them, because all they do is connect to your desktop, which is on the virtual server. They run at about 80% less electricity than a normal desktop or laptop. They're called a thin client. Thin client.
T-H-I-N.
Yeah, that's right. So
the real answer is just to use the internet cafe and you don't need anything.
That's what's rough, yeah. Even better. Don't even need an iPad or a laptop. So, cost savings, just on this bit as well. I mentioned about, say, you're running at about 80% less electricity than a laptop or a desktop. A server in your office, you might be surprised to hear, is about 600 quid a year in electric alone, because a good server will have two power supplies, even though one's only powering it, but just in case one power supply breaks, the other kicks in. So there's some massive savings to be seen by going down the hosted route on the electricity usage alone. Okay, so I said about hosted desktop and specifically about hosted accountants. We are a company that specialises in supporting accountancy firms and accountancy practice software. As I said, if you need to bolt an additional user on, then you can do that. I said about 100% uptime. One of the nice things that we do with our clients, now, I'm sure you've got a number of clients that, as good as an online bookkeeping might be, they might not be ready to move away from Sage. They've got a bookkeeper who is more than happy using Sage, been using it for years. It's really quick to get around that program if you know it well. So just because a program's called software as a service and available in the cloud, it doesn't mean that it will be better for you necessarily than what an existing bookkeeper's been using. So you can have, you can actually host Sage though. So your clients can log into it and you can log into it at the same time without transferring data and the risks associated with that. As I said, costs, hosting and cloud saves you money. The security aspect I covered earlier is an incredibly secure system. Performance-wise, now people are asking, well, if my server's in the cloud, will the programs run slower because they're going down the internet? Now, that's a really good question. Vast majority of the time, the answer is it actually runs quicker because it's on a server which is very expensive. and being maintained all of the time and checking that it's running properly. So the performance is generally quicker, because what you're doing when you're using an online system, the processing is happening at least on the server rather than on your local machine, and all you're looking at is pictures. So I'm sure most of you have been and watched something on iPlayer or YouTube. Now that comes down, that takes about a megabyte a second bandwidth for you to watch that. When you're producing, running any programs over the internet, it's using about 100K, so a fraction of the amount of data is coming down compared with going up. Okay, so that pretty much covers what I was going to talk about, so I'm hoping that there's going to be a load of questions. Internet speed can affect it, yes.
So if you've got really poor internet.
It's really rare to have really poor internet. No.
Not in the country. It depends where you live. If you live in the country, I get less than 1 megabyte.
Download.
Yes.
You need 100K to run a program.
I have difficulty with just downloading anything.
Do you? Right, okay, yeah, there would be a bit of degradation there. now, a meg download speed, you should, unless it's less than 100, you shouldn't ever notice any performance degradation by it being in a hosted environment. I could be proved wrong.
I certainly can't watch iPlayer.
Oh, can't you?
No.
Right, okay.
It just freezes.
Right.
So that's what I mean, that's how slow it is.
Okay. Right.
So I have no broadband signal. No
mobile signal. No. How far out of from the exchange are you? Because that's quite an important thing.
A mile.
Oh, not far. No.
I'm one and a half mile away from one of the major masts, because I'm just in a hollow and it literally. If I
misses
stand
you
on
out.
The opposite bank or where my house is,
Maybe that'll be it. Don't do it with an iPad, though. People don't like it. Okay, now there's a box. If you are completely reliant on the internet, there's something called a YB, W-I-B-E.
B-E.
What that does, it works on 3G.
Yeah.
Do you get a 3G in your hollow?
I've got short signal for my mobile. That's how I use my mobile. And I'm guessing that's what that is, isn't it?
It is.
It's similar, so it uses 3G.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, it's actually created...
Patchy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a company based in Bath that made these. It's this guy that's done some really clever stuff with how to redirect 3G signals to make them more powerful. But generally speaking, you can get a faster upload speed, and that's when internet's going back, data's going back to the internet with 3G than you can with a broadband. So there's loads of IT companies out there that will do a free of charge communications review for you. So you just need to search online for one of those companies. And what they'll do is look at your local exchange, look at your phone number. You've had this.
Well, actually, I did that and it crashed as I was doing
it. Oh, dear.
It is. It's very patchy, then sometimes it's great.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe go and rent somewhere. Are there any other questions? Yeah.
You offer hosting. You are a hosting specialist. Now, many of these companies, Iris, for instance, offer their own hosting. So what differentiates you between the hosting service that's offered by someone like Iris?
Yeah, we're independent. So
yes, but... But what differentiates you from using a service, a hosting service such as would be provided by Iris?
As I said, we're independent, so we will support Sage. So I don't know if you sort of picture this. If you have somebody that wants to go and you've got Iris hosting, and then that person phones up Sage and goes, "I'm phoning from Iris," and got a bit of a problem with the software, they're less likely to get a true answer compared with an independent company. So that's one of the things. Cost is another one in that particular scenario, because you're likely to see quite a bit of cost saving. Yeah. You're talking, I mean, for hosting, for example, with an Iris suite, Microsoft Office, you don't need to buy it. The costs are around about £40-45 per person per month. There's companies out there that charge 100, 100 plus. And, yeah, okay.
We're not
wanting to negotiate. Right. If they do, it might change. So, question at the back level too.
You quoted your prices in your leaflet.
Yes.
Is that including VAT?
It will be a plus VAT, I'm afraid to say.
Is there some reason you don't say that on your leaflet? Because I'm not VAT registered.
Oh, I don't write the material, but I can find out for you, and we'll change that if it needs.
It's actually something that really, really, really bugs me.
Right.
Because I'm not VAT registered, because I'm quite a small company.
Okay.
And every time I get a quote from anybody about anything, they never say, "Oh, that's plus VAT."
Oh right. Okay. I will start putting that on our marketing material, and I'll let the team know about that. Sorry if that's a gripe.
Okay. The cloud can give you quite a bit of resilience on your business as well, because obviously people are getting problems with their broadband, and there's all kinds of reasons why they're getting problems. I've been dealing with quite a few over the last 10, 15 years. Good old BT are a nightmare. It can take 6 to 9 months to sort something out, if ever. What it can do on a resilience, obviously you lose some control, but what you can actually do then is if you lose your internet connection, you lose your laptop or whatever, you can actually go to another laptop, you can go to Costa Coffee, McDonald's, whatever, and have free Wi-Fi, or what the Norwich you have at wherever he is in the kind of fruit juice shop, and actually use it anywhere else.
That's right.
Which makes it quite useful.
Yes, whereas if your server's that's running Sage, you can't run it.
Well, we actually converted a guy to cloud because he had a laptop which died. The hard drive totally died.
Right.
So he lost all his QuickBooks data. Then he used his wife's laptop, and a month later that died.
He's got the golden touch there.
He's on cloud now.
Yeah.
And he's quite happy because actually he's got a little dongle on his laptop. He's a mobile engineer, and he can actually produce an invoice for the client on site in the middle of a field and email them the invoice.
Brilliant.
So he's actually quite happy in keeping up with his invoicing now as well.
This is a real-world example of how the cloud is actually benefiting businesses.
And just to really upset the broadband people, we're now in Cornwall, in a village, with 26 meg download, 1.5 meg upload on fibre to the cabinet. So it's coming. They're not going to invest loads of money in the existing broadband, but they are rolling out. The fibre's been in, C21's been in for quite a few years to all the exchanges. It is rolling out across the country, and it will come. So you're not going to get a lot of time with the technical issues. They'll gradually get mopped up as it goes, but it's going to take a little bit of time for some of you.
And also there's something called 4G as well coming.
Yeah, they're testing that near Newquay at the moment.
They are they?
Yes, they've got tests all around Newquay for people who can't get coverage. One thing I'll say, also there's satellite broadband. The only issue with that is there is a latency, there is a delay, because obviously it's a bloody long way to go up into the sky and back again. So there is a bit of a, well, it doesn't actually matter where you are, it's a long way up and a long way back down again. So there is a latency with satellites, so don't expect satellite to necessarily answer your problems, and it is quite expensive. So, you know, it's kind of maybe look at different ways and go to Costa and have a hot chocolate. I think it's the best solution,
or,
I think.
Or a Weatherspoon.
Makes you feel better anyway, you know.
Or a Weatherspoon if it's lunchtime.
Yeah, just looking at your brochure, and I see under the Our Clients section on the second page, you say we have clients affiliated with all of the major bodies such as ICEAW, ICAS, ACCA. You're missing something there.
Is AAT not on there?
No.
Oh, no. Well, I don't know if when that brochure got printed. Sorry, that would be corrected with the plus VAT as well.
Put it first.
Yeah, VAT bit first. I didn't know if when you were doing that you were showing me the door. No, it's sorry, that was a very good... Thanks for... Yeah. thanks for adding to that, because the aspects of satellite, the fact broadband is getting quicker. BT have a little bit of a vested interest with keeping you as you are, because you're using it. And
was that the 1 minute? Said 01.
Yeah. No, you
don't. Don't have any advantage operationally over anybody else now with this corporate structure, so you can use other providers.
That's right.
So you don't have to use that. And so I don't feel there's a need, you're going to get any better service. You're not, they can't get open works to fix it any quicker than anybody else.
No. Good. Right. Any other questions at this point?
So oh, yes. What happens? I know you said that you.
Wait.
No. Sorry, yes. You said about the cloud not going down. I did come across somebody who it went down for 2 days.
Right.
So what happens? That was their whole business then stopped working.
Yeah. How many staff was that?
Four, I think. It was a recruitment agency, but it wasn't accountancy, but it did go down.
The reason that I ask how many staff, as the gentleman at the back pointed out there, a server could go down for 2 days or more. But what would happen in that scenario would be they'd go to Costa or they'd go home and work from home, and they can work from wherever they can get an internet connection. Or you can get, as was also mentioned, a 3G dongle, which plugs in and you... Yeah, built in, right. Or you in your router you can actually have a 3G dongle that you just plug in. Albeit you'll be sort of limping along, unless you go for the YB option, which intensifies the broadband. But you will still be working.
If the cloud thing goes down.
That was specifically about broadband going down.
Oh, right, sorry, I thought she said cloud going down.
Yeah, the connection to the internet and the cloud, yeah. Okay. Well, look at that. You get a few more extra minutes to get ready. Put your glad rags on.
Can I just ask you to tell me what that thing is again?
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. Right. Okay, so a thing client. Put it on the back of a monitor and get rid of the need for a computer, a desktop or a